Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
A happy Thursday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show coming up for you guys today. We continue to preview all the teams in the Big 12. We're looking at TCU today. Also continuing our previews in the AFC East as we look at the New England Patriots on the show today. We're going to dive into a little bit of Major League Baseball as well later on in the show. And then also, we got to have our first PJ Pick 5 of the season. Week 0 gets going on Saturday. I got my 5 favorite bets for you guys on Saturday's slate. Then we wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, certainly anything on TCU, make sure you chime in with anything that's on your mind. You can hit us up at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, or on X. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, as always, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast. All episodes available for you there wherever you get your podcast. Let's get rolling on a Thursday. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Jamie Plunkett, who joins us at Frog Preacher on X. Covers TCU for Horn Frog Blitz and 24/7 Sports. Jamie, great having you on, man. We're all trying to figure out who's going to win the Big 12 this year because it is maybe as wide open as we've ever seen a conference coming into the preseason. Jamie, I got to tell you, man, the more I read about TCU, the more that I like them, right? The quarterback's coming back. They got an experienced defense. I like the coaching staff with Avalos on defense and Briles on offense. So heading into the season, what is the question mark that you have about TCU? Because there's a lot I like about this team, but what would be the question mark that you have?
Well, you're right. There is a lot to like. I think the two biggest questions for TCU football heading into 2025 are, can they improve in the running game, which was a real struggle for them in 2024, and can they defend against the run, which was another big struggle? If they can improve a little bit in both of those areas, I think that the sky is the limit for this TCU football team. They brought in Kavorian Barnes from UTSA, who was a good runner in 22 and 23 before having a little bit of a step back in 24, and they shored up the interior of that defensive line with Washington State transfer Ansel Dinamboo. So they tried to address both of those needs in the offseason. They've looked decent in fall camp, but you really, when it's good on good in the own team, you don't really know what you're getting until week one. So we'll see against North Carolina and Chapel Hill week one if TCU has actually made progress in both of those areas.
I mentioned Josh Hoover's coming back as the QB, Jamie, and he broke the school record last year in passing yards, right? So you're talking about one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the conference, maybe in all of college football. I like Hoover quite a bit. Do you think he's going to have an even better season this year than he did last year, nearly throwing for 4,000 yards?
Well, the potential's certainly there. He gets the ball out really quick. He makes his reads really, really quickly. And we saw what happens when you have a good pass-blocking offensive line and capable wide receivers. He can get the ball out and get it around to a couple of different guys. But he lost 3 guys to the NFL in Savion Williams, Jack Besh, and P.J. Richardson. So we've got to see if these other wide receivers can kind of step up and fill in those shoes. Eric McAllister looks like a true number one. You got Jordan Dwyer coming in. He was a 1,000-yard receiver at Idaho last year. Joseph Manjack's a veteran from Houston. But if Josh Hoover wants to make the next step. He's got to get those wide receivers to make the next step as well. He's only 3,800 passing yards away from becoming the third TCU quarterback ever to eclipse that 10,000-yard mark. I think he gets there, but it's going to take some of those wide receivers stepping up and filling in those shoes.
Defensively, Jamie, they return 8 starters on that side of the ball. They're going to have a very good secondary, one of the better ones in the Big 12. How do you expect TCU's defense to look this season?
Well, they bring back a ton of returning production. Bud Clark's been here for a million years, it feels like. Nnamdi Obiezor is a leader at that linebacker group. And then you've got a stud position, kind of that hybrid D-end linebacker guy in Devin Deal coming back as well. So they've got the veteran talent at all three levels. It's year two of Andy Avalos' system. And all the guys I've talked to on defense so far this fall camp have said they're much more comfortable in this defensive system than they were a season ago. And we saw that defense take a big step in the second half of 2024 when TCU went on that run to win, I think it was 6 of their last 7 games. So if the defense can get that veteran talent to step up and even maybe take another step in their production this year, I think it's going to be a really good year for TCU's defense.
We're talking TCU here on Send It In with Jamie Plunkett at Frog Preacher on X. Make sure you guys give him a follow there. Jamie, let's talk about the schedule because it's a fascinating one for TCU. And right off the bat, one of the most intriguing games, standalone game on Monday night. Obviously, no Monday night for NFL yet because they get going the following week. So we get a college Monday night game, TCU on the road at North Carolina. Has Sonny Dykes talked about just how like challenging it is because we've never seen Belichick at the college level? Like, you can maybe watch some film on what his Patriots teams did, but you really don't know what to expect until you got out there. I'm just curious, has like any of the coaches talked about maybe the challenges that come with preparing for Carolina because you don't really know what to expect?
You know, it's interesting. I think Sonny Dykes and TCU's staff might be one of the most equipped coaching staffs to handle this because they just went through it a couple of years ago trying to get ready for Colorado when it was Deion Sanders' first game with the Buffaloes. And so they had to, you know, mash up a ton of film there, not just from where coaches had been, but from where players had been too. The approach is similar, I think, but they've scaled it down a little bit for this. They're watching a ton of New England Patriots film, obviously. They're watching a lot of Washington film from last year, the Huskies, where Steve Belichick was the defensive coordinator. And then they're going and they're looking at Gio Lopez when he was at App State last year, what film he has on the, or I don't think it was App State. I can't remember where it was, but they're watching
South
quarterback
Alabama.
Film. Thank you, South Alabama, from when he was there last year. So they're doing a similar approach to what they did for Colorado. Obviously, the Colorado result isn't what they want in Chapel Hill, but they have kind of gone through this process before, and I think that's informing how they're approaching it this time.
What has Sonny Dykes said about the depth of the team this year? Because, as you know, Jamie, a lot of these teams, right, they'll maybe play one Power Four game in the non-conference, then other games are kind of cupcakes. Not for TCU. They get the UNC game, and then they get SMU, who's going to be one of the better teams in the ACC this year, on top of the Big 12 schedule. Does he feel like the depth is good enough to withstand this tough schedule that they have this year?
He does. He's said a couple of times since the spring he feels like this is the deepest roster he's had at any coaching stop he's been at. Mm-hmm. Not hard to say that when you've been at Cal and Louisiana Tech, I suppose, and SMU, but TCU has built up a lot of good depth. They didn't lose a ton of bodies in the transfer portal, maybe 5 or 6, and they brought in some really talented depth as well. So he loves the depth, especially at corner and at running back, two positions of need for this team in the offseason. They feel like they've addressed those, and he's feeling good about not just the starters, but, you know, all 85 on the roster this year.
I mentioned the schedule's not easy, right? You're at UNC, home against SMU. Then you got Baylor, Iowa State at home, road trips to Tempe to take on ASU, K-State, BYU as well. So a lot of difficult games. When you looked at the schedule, what was the game that jumped out at you as the one that maybe you thought was the most important, toughest game to win? What was that game that stuck out to you on the schedule?
You know, I think most important and toughest might be two different games this year. Let's start with toughest. TCU never plays well in Manhattan, Kansas. It's always been a struggle going back to those teams that had Trevon Boykin and Josh Doxson and Aaron Green. They could still barely get out of Manhattan, Kansas with a win. So I've kind of got that Kansas State game circled as the toughest, especially when you consider that Kansas State is another one of those teams that's really hoping to get to the Big 12 championship and make the college football playoff this year out of the league. Most important, I'm going to circle Baylor coming to Fort Worth because you lost on a field goal in Waco last year. That's your primary rival. And at that point in the season, if you can get that win over Baylor, you're probably looking at having 6 or 7 wins in your back pocket with 3 to go in the regular season. And that's setting you up really, really nicely to make a run towards the Big 12 championship and the CFP in the next month or two.
What is your prediction this season, Jamie, record-wise for TCU? Right now, BetMGM odds makers have them about 7 wins, so they're seeing about 7-5 for TCU. What's your prediction for the season?
I think TCU clears that 7 wins mark. Yeah, it's a tough schedule. They've got a lot of really tough road games this year, but they get SMU and Baylor at home. I think that gives them an advantage. They've got a North Carolina team who's already suffering some injuries in the fall. I think they can get away with that win as well. And then you're talking about just protecting home field in the league. And I think they can get to 8, maybe 9 wins. 9-3 would be a really nice season for TCU. The fan base thinks they can get to 10. I'm not sure I'm quite there with them on that one, but I see them getting over that 7 and winning 8 or 9.
Jamie, before I let you go, I've been asking all the guests who have come on to talk Big 12, who is the team in the conference that they think is going to be maybe the toughest this year, or the one that gives their team the toughest challenge? Because again, this league is so wide open. So I'll ask you, in the Big 12, outside of TCU, who's the team in the league this year that you think people are gunning for, that you think is the team to beat?
Look, I think a lot of people are going to say Arizona State. That makes sense because they're the defending champ. But the reality is that the Big 12 hasn't had a back-to-back champion since Oklahoma did it over a decade ago. So I'm going to go with Utah. They had a really bad first year in the league, but they rebuilt that defense. It should be a top 20 defense in the country again. They rebuilt their offensive line, and they went and got Devin Dampier from UNLV, who I really like as a dual-threat quarterback. If he can improve his passing game a little bit and get away from that 1-to-1 touchdown ratio he had last year, we know what he does with his legs, and I think Utah would be the team to beat in the league.
Love it. Great stuff, Jamie Plunkett. Again, give him a follow on X, at Frog Preacher. Covers TCU for Horned Frog Blitz and 24/7 Sports. Jamie, appreciate the time, man. Great meeting you. Have an awesome season. Hope to catch up again sometime down the road.
My pleasure, PJ. Go Frogs.
Great stuff there. Jamie joining us here to talk a little TCU. Let's continue talking TCU here on Send It In as Shawnee Sharp pulls up the schedule for you guys. Again, you can see it tough, right? We don't see many Power 4 teams play 2 Power 4 opponents in the offseason, but that is what TCU is doing, playing UNC off the bat in Chapel Hill and then getting that game against SMU in Week 4 as well before they get in to Big 12 play. And this is one of the toughest Big 12 schedules that we have seen. They get Baylor at home. They also get Iowa State at home, and then those 3 road games that are going to be tough at Arizona State, at Kansas State, at BYU. West Virginia, never an easy place to play as well. So it's going to be a tough schedule. They do avoid Utah. They do avoid Texas Tech, but they get some of the other top teams projected to be amongst those teams gunning for the Big 12 championship this year in the Big 12. As I was talking with Jamie, though, you guys, I do like this TCU team a lot. The more that I read about them, the more that I look at them, the more that I kind of study TCU. Another one of these Big 12 teams that have a returning quarterback, as Max Hoover is coming back for them. And again, he set the all-time record for TCU last year in passing, nearly threw for 4,000 yards. You would think another year of experience, another year in the system, kind of a better team around him, experienced offensive line, he would be even better this year. The receiving core definitely is a little bit of a question mark with some of the guys that they lost, but in a Sonny Dykes offense with Hoover as your quarterback, I think they're going to be okay. I do like their offensive line. I think Jamie said it, though. The key for TCU is going to be able to run the football and then stopping the run on defense. If they can improve on those two things this season, they should be pretty good. But how about this coaching staff? I think it's one of the more underrated coaching staffs in college football. Andy Avalos is your defensive coordinator, who is the head coach at Boise for a couple of years, and then Kendall Briles as your offensive coordinator has been a very good OC in college football for a long time. So anytime you have continuity at the coaching staff and you have that good of an OC and DC combo, I think that bodes very well for TCU as they try to navigate a difficult schedule. If we're looking for betting on TCU this season, they are plus 800 to win the Big 12. They are plus 475 just to get to Dallas to play in the Big 12 title game. And they are plus 700 to make the college football playoff. And their win total is 6.5, but the over is heavily juiced at minus 190. Would never lay a minus 190 with TCU to win seven or more games. Maybe you look at some alt lines potentially over 7.5. I think that could be a good way to get involved. The bet that I really like though on TCU this year is for them to make the college football playoff at plus 700. I think that is good value on TCU. We know this year for the college football playoff, likely the SEC, Big Ten are going to get four teams into the college football playoff, maybe even five. One of the leagues get in three. ACC and Big 12, obviously they get the auto bids into the playoff, but that might be it. Maybe they get a second team into the playoff. The ACC got SMU and Clemson in last year. The Big 12 only got Arizona State in. Maybe that happens again. One of those leagues only get one, the other gets two. But really, there's a good shot that the Big 12 only gets one team in this year. If there was a team, though, in the Big 12 to not win their conference championship and still make the college football playoff, it would be TCU because, again, they play those two non-conference Power Four opponents. And not only do they play two, but they're two out of the ACC. So when you have the ACC and Big 12 trying to compete against one another to see who that conference might be to get that second team into the college football playoff, don't you think it would go a long way if a team like TCU wins both of those games against ACC teams, beats North Carolina, beats SMU, and then the committee are comparing these teams and they're like, well, if we're trying to figure out if the ACC or the Big 12 is a better league, or we're trying to compare TCU to, say, Georgia Tech or Louisville, well, if you see that TCU beat two teams from that league, that would certainly be a major talking point in that room. So TCU's already favored on the road against North Carolina. That game at home against SMU, probably going to be a pick'em. So absolutely a possibility that TCU goes up 2-0 in those games. And then they have Abilene Christian in week three. They get a bye week after the North Carolina game. So I think there is a chance that TCU wins both of those games. Then going into Big 12 play, obviously a difficult schedule, as we have highlighted. But I think this is maybe the most underrated team potentially in the Big 12. We're all getting caught up with all the moves that Texas Tech made, and Arizona State's got all this returning production, like Kansas State, Iowa State, Utah bounced back in year two. TCU made the national championship a couple years ago. That was definitely a one-off. That team had a magical season. I'm not saying they're going back to the national championship, but I like the price on them to make the college football playoff, because if you're looking for a team in the Big 12 that is can make the playoff without winning their conference title, I think it's TCU because of the non-conference schedule that they have. So the fact that they have two ACC opponents, if they can win both of those games and then maybe win 10 games this season with those two games, I think there's absolutely a chance that TCU can get into the college football playoff with the SEC beating up on each other, the Big Ten beating up on each other. TCU plus 700 to make the college football playoff, I think that could be worth a bet for the upcoming season. All right, let's talk about the New England Patriots now here on Send It In. Another team that I have a very strong opinion on going in to the upcoming season. Probably my favorite win total, if not one of my favorite win totals for the upcoming season, is going to be Patriots under 8.5 wins for the upcoming year. You guys see the schedule, pretty easy, right? I mean, we know the division's not all that great outside of Buffalo. Then, because New England was so bad last year, they're going to play the Browns, they're going to play the Titans. They do get the AFC North, so you get the Ravens, you get the Bengals, and you do get the Steelers as well, but they're going to get the Titans, they're going to get the Saints, they play the Giants, they play the Falcons, right? They do have an easy schedule. They get the Raiders week one, which is going to be a big game. Here's the reason, though, why I am fading the New England Patriots this upcoming season and why I love the win total under 8.5 at minus 120. The New England Patriots this season are the Chicago Bears of last season. Last year, the Bears were minus 110 to make the playoffs for the upcoming year, and I just didn't understand it. Why were the Bears minus 110 to make the playoffs? What had the Bears done to prove to you that they should be minus 110 to make the playoffs? Oh, because they drafted Caleb Williams? Because they supported him with a good cast of wide receivers? Because the defense was improved? Had the Bears proved to you with that group that they could go to the playoffs? Had they proved to you that they could win 9 or 10 games? It was all projection. It was all speculation. And we obviously saw how that played out. You're telling me the Patriots, it's not the same thing this year? Obviously an upgrade at coach. Nobody is going to tell you that Eberflus is better than Mike Vrabel. And I am as big of a Vrabel guy as you will find. I think the guy is awesome. And I think Drake May has the potential to be a really good quarterback. But we're already acting like Drake May is kind of like one of the top quarterbacks in the league. And He's just not. I mean, he could get there. He could be a really good player, but he hasn't proven that he can do it yet. And the reason why I really like New England or fading New England for the upcoming season, do you know how many games the Patriots were favored in last season? They were favored in 0 games last season. Do you know how many games New England is favored in this season? 11. A team has gone from being favored in 0 games to 11 games. Why? Because of a head coaching change? Because their quarterback had a couple of nice games when they were one of the worst teams in the league? Because they made a couple of moves in free agency? Again, the roster got better. First full year, Drake May, he should be better. Major upgrade at head coach in Mike Vrabel. But going from being favored in 0 games to 11 games is insane. Like, that should never happen, even if you do have an easier schedule. This was a 4-win football team last year. Now we're putting their win total at 8.5. I see value in fading the Patriots. It's all projection. It's all speculation. Not saying they can't do it. Not saying they're not capable. And not saying that Drake May can't be a great quarterback. My problem is we haven't seen it. It wouldn't shock me at all if Drake May ends up being like, maybe the guy's just not maybe as great as we thought. Maybe he didn't take that next step. Maybe he didn't develop like we all thought he would. I mean, their defense is good. It's not like a top 5 unit in the league. It's better than average, but it's not great. Again, they made some nice offensive moves. Everybody's in love with Travion Henderson this year. But he's a rookie. We don't know what he's going to look like. Stephon Diggs is still a good player. Certainly not what he was when he is in Buffalo. So it's just like we're all falling in love with the Patriots making some moves. And we all think Drake May is just going to take this big step. I just can't get over the fact that the Patriots were favored in 0 games last year. And now they are favored in 11 games. And they won 4 games last year. They did nothing to prove to us that they should be favored in 11 games for the upcoming season. And I talk about this with teams a lot. It's a whole different ball game when you play a season when nobody's expecting anything of you. When you're an underdog in every single game, everybody's expecting you to be the worst team in the league. A lot of weeks you're catching teams on kind of their off week when they're maybe overlooking you. Nobody's overlooking the Patriots this year. You got a great coach in Vrabel. You got an up-and-coming quarterback in Drake May. People are expecting you to make the playoffs. Your win total is at 8.5. You're favored in 11 games. I get their schedule is easy. I get people are looking at the Patriots, and they're looking at all these games, and they're like, that should be a win, that should be a win. But you're telling me when the Titans, when the Saints, when the Falcons, when the Giants, you're telling me when they go up against the Patriots, they're not thinking those are winnable games either? So that's part of this as well, is those teams are also viewing the Patriots as winnable games. I'm just not there with Drake May as seemingly other people are, and I just think that this line on the Patriots is all based on projection and speculation. It's reminded me a lot of the Chicago Bears from last year when we did the same thing with Chicago. Fading New England, one of my favorite win totals for the upcoming season, under 8.5 at minus 120 on the Patriots. All right, you guys, let's tell you about a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an any sport, no sweat token. Get in on the excitement at BetMGM with any sport, no sweat token. If you don't win your wager, you'll get a stake back in bonus bets. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, it is time for the PJ Pick 5, the first one of the season, week 0. Ooh, does that feel good? All right, let's start with the first bet on the card. Kansas State money line minus 160 against Iowa State. Now, you guys know normally I don't love giving you like minus 160s as best bets. And if you want to take Kansas State -3, I understand. But in a game like this where there's so much familiarity, these teams know each other so well, they usually come down to the wire, they're normally low scoring, I'm willing to buy the minus 160 in a game like this. Now, there are a lot of people that like Iowa State in this game because of how good the underdog has been in this series, because Matt Campbell has been great against Kansas State. But this game is way different than all those Iowa State, Kansas State games have been in the past when Klieman and Campbell have gone against each other. First of all, they're playing in week 0 to kick off the season. Second off, they're playing in Dublin. I mean, there's so many other factors going into this game. So I don't think you can really rely on like Campbell having success against Kansas State in the past and kind of apply it to this game. I think you got to take this game for what it is, kicking off the season. I think Kansas State's got the better roster. I trust Klieman a little bit more, and I think they're going to find a way to win this game. And like I told you guys yesterday, when you're handicapping a lot of these games, just kind of look at what the win totals are telling you, right? Iowa State's win total was 7.5. and the over was plus money. Kansas State's win total was 8.5, and that was minus 120. This is one of those toss-up type games that if you're betting an over or an under on the win total, you need that team to either win or lose this game. This is one of those games when you're looking at the win total, Vegas probably had a feeling Kansas State would win this game. I would agree with them. Give me K-State minus 160 against the Cyclones. Our second bet, give me Hawaii -2.5 against Stanford out on the island. Here's the handicap. You guys, I'm sure if you listen to the show by now, you know who the head coach for Stanford is these days. If you don't, let me enlighten you. Frank Reich, you might have heard of him. Head coach of the Panthers, head coach of the Colts. Yeah, that guy stinks. He's in college now, and he's coaching Stanford. Andrew Luck's the GM, and he's just having his buddy help out for a year while they try to look for their new coach for the next upcoming season. Stanford has the chance to be one of the worst teams in Power 4 football this year. They're certainly probably going to be the worst in the ACC. It's going to be a disaster. Hawaii has also never beaten Stanford before, so certainly motivation for them at home to get off the schneid against the Cardinal, finally beat them. Timmy Chang, this is his fourth year at Hawaii. I think this is the best team that he has had since he has been there. So let's take the Bows -2.5 against Stanford on Saturday. Number three, Western Kentucky -10.5 against Sam Houston State. For me, another big-time coaching mismatch. You got Tyson Helton for Western Kentucky, who's entering his seventh year there in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and he's done a terrific job with Western Kentucky. They make the college football playoff. They make the bowl games just about. They make it to bowl season just about every year. Western Kentucky does. He's done a really good job at that program. Sam Houston State, meanwhile, they're bringing in a new coach in Phil Longo. When you watch as much college football as I do, not only are there coaches, head coaches that you like to bet on or fade, there are also coordinators that you like to bet on and fade. And Phil Longo, when he was at Wisconsin, North Carolina, I was not impressed. I think this guy stinks. Now that he is a head coach, I am looking forward to fading Sam Houston State for the upcoming season, especially in the first game early on. Western Kentucky's only got three returning starters, which is why this spread is probably only 10. I think it should be closer to 13. Give me the Hilltoppers -10.5 against Sam Houston State. Number four, we're going with the total under in Iowa State and Kansas State. Week zero, rivalry game, so much familiarity, two good defensive head coaches. You know, you're playing on a different kind of field. It's like a rugby field out there in Ireland. There's so much more that could lead to the under that could lead to the over in this game. Now, this game turns out to be a 35-31 shootout. You tip the cap. But to me, feels like a 27-20 type game, maybe a 24-20 type game. So I do like the under 50.5 in Kansas State and Iowa State. And then finally, I'll also take the under in Hawaii and Stanford at 50.5 as well. And it's a fade of Frank Reich again, because I don't think his offense is going to be clicking on all cylinders in week zero. I think they're going to look sloppy. It's going to be a lot of turnovers, penalties, all those sorts of things. Low scoring game, Hawaii, Stanford. I'll take the under at 50.5 in that game as well. All right, let's talk a little baseball here. On Send It In, a little big league page. We get into some plays on the diamond. Athletics and Twins are underway now, so no play in that game. Rangers and Royals, which get going at 2:10 p.m. Eastern time. Going to skip that game as well. Brewers and Cubs in Wrigley today. How about the Cubbies? Nice little last couple days against the Brewers. Cut the division lead to 6. Imanaga on the mound today. Kyle Tucker back in the lineup after missing the last 3 days. All that sounds great. We're taking the Brewers because Quinn Priester's on the mound. And when he starts, the Brewers don't lose. Dodgers and Rockies. How about the Rockies beating Ohtani and the Dodgers yesterday? I think the Dodgers are going to get some revenge in a big way. Give me LA run line -2.5 against the Rockies today. Mets and Nationals. Nats a winner last night. I think that's the only win that they get in the series today. You got Mackenzie Gore against Sean Manaea. So that's why the Mets are only -130. Personally, I think that's a gift. Give me the Mets at -130. Giants and Padres today in San Diego. Dylan Cease and Justin Verlander. Day game out there in San Diego. We're taking the over 7.5 in that one. Dylan Cease, in his first start against San Francisco this year, gave up 3 runs and 5 hits and 5 innings pitched. So I will take the over in that one today. Red Sox and Yankees. Give me the Red Sox on the money line today with Lucas Giolito on the mound. Boston has won 10 of the last 13 games in which he has started. Luis Gil making his third start of the season, still trying to work his way back. We're going to take Boston out on the money line at plus 115. Astros and Orioles, Brandon Young's on the mound for the Orioles today. Nearly threw a perfect game against Houston when he faced the Astros 5 days ago. So you know the way that the baseball gods work. After nearly throwing a perfect game, he'll probably get rocked today. We'll take the over 8.5 in Orioles and Astros. And then Cardinals and Rays out in Tampa today. Gonna pass on that game out in Tampa. All right, let's wrap the show. PJ's plays, our favorite bets of the day. And let's start with Big Sam, the top prospect for the Orioles. Sam Basayo, going to make his first start at Camden Yards today. I think he's going to get a base hit against the Astros and Jason Alexander. So we'll take Sam Basayo as our play today and going streaking. My prop lock, I told you guys, I love the Patriots under 8.5 wins this season at minus 120. A team that was favored in zero games last year, who's now favored in 11 games this year. They won 4 games last season. Now we're expecting them to win 9. I think it's way too big a jump. I'm taking under wins on the Patriots. Dog of the day is going to be the Red Sox plus 115 against the Yankees, and give me the Mets minus 130 against the Nationals today as my best bet. I think it's a nice discounted price on the Mets. Mackenzie Gore's on the mound for the Nats, but he hasn't been great as of late. We'll take the Mets as our best bet. Thanks again to Jamie Plunkett for joining us today on the show to talk some TCU. A lot of fun. Tomorrow we will look at Baylor, and we'll also look at the New York Jets. We'll see you guys then. Have a great rest of your day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.